Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachos Daf Lamed Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We will begin from the very bottom, the last line of Daf Chof Tes Amid Beis. Before we read the Gemara, let's just recap a little bit of what we had been involved with. On Daf Chof Tes Amid Beis, there was a comment made of Ravin Bar Chinina that the halacha would go like Rabbi Shimon Shizuri. The Gemara wanted to know which comment of Rabbi Shimon Shizuri was Ravin trying to paskin like. The Gemara went through a number of attempts. When we got to the bottom of Chof Tes Amud Beis, we noticed Rav Papa and Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchok, each one offering a suggestion to what comment of Rabbi Shimon Shizuri was the subject of the psak, of the legal ruling of Ravin. The end of the Chof Tes Amud Beis, we see Rav Papa's name is circled. So Rav Papa Omar Ashida, at the top of Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. The word Shida is a reference to something like a chest of drawers, a closet type piece of furniture, or as we said, a chest of drawers. And the issue here concerns a concept known as a kli that is machzik 40 saw. 40 saw is a measure. If you have a vessel that contains or is able to contain 40 saw of liquid, in theory, we're not suggesting that you fill up a chest of drawers with water right now, but in theory, if it was able to contain that amount of liquid, it would no longer be considered a kli. Kli literally is a vessel, but in the context of our discussion, a kli is that which is capable of absorbing ritual impurity, absorbing tumah. We say kelim are makabel tumah, something that is not a kli is not mekabel tuma. So we are now going to talk about the shida, being that it is a large piece of furniture. How do we measure it in order to determine whether it is a container of 40 sa'ah or not? So the source begins, disnan. We have a Tanaic source. You can see it's in a frame as we frame off all Tanaic sources in our Gemara marking system. In addition to that, we also have the diamond geometric form at the top of the page. In the outside margin, you'll notice we have a mivneh. Mivneh is a structural note. In the Gemara marking system, we provide structural notes when new symbols arise in the sugya, and we also provide topic headings that we call nosei. In this case, the mivneh at the outside margin says, have a diamond that's featured with Shida and Yayin. As you'll see a few lines later, another diamond. Shemos, these are the names or references to Mekoros sources. Shebohen Mofia Rav Shimon Shizuri, in which Rav Shimon Shizuri appears. De Alehem Posak Ravin Bar Chinina Kamoso. Regarding the Rav Shimon Shizuri in these sources, according to Rav Papa and Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, Ravin's psak halacha was focused. So the source at the top describes this piece of furniture called a shida. Hashida, there are other translations for a shida. It could be something like a chariot, a cart. But for our purposes, we are to realize that it's a a large type of furniture or structure, and we have to evaluate whether it comes under the definition of a kli because of its size. So the source says, Hashida beishamai omrim nimdedes mibifnim. It's measured from within, meaning the airspace, the halal, is what is of concern to us. If the halal holds 40 sa'a, then it will not be makabel tuma. Ubeis hillel omrim mi bachutz. That means that in addition to the airspace, the existing airspace, one is allowed to take into consideration the thickness of the walls, viewing them as if they were hollow as well, as if they were part of the airspace. Umoidim elu ve'elu she'ein ove horaglayim ve'uve ha'livaz vizin nimdod. They will agree that the thickness of the legs of this chest of drawers, which are generally speaking thicker than the boards forming this box, the raglayim, therefore, and the ove ha'leviz vizin, this is a frame. Rashi explains levizviz mizgeres soviv lepihem, a type of rim or frame or rim that goes around the top. So those additions, the raglayim and the thickness of this rim, they agree are not part of the measuring. Rabbi Yossi Omer moidim sheove haraglayim ove ha'levizvizin nimdad. Uveinehen ein nimdad. Rabbi Yossi has a different opinion and says that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel will agree that the thickness of the legs and the frame or the rim are part of the counting, part of this evaluation as for the 40 saw, but the space between the legs, the Rashi explains a little more. He says, Uveinehem oisoi avir shebein haraglaim mitachas. The space formed by the region between the legs at the bottom of this chest are not part of the counting. Delo amrinon, we don't say royin kiilu shulayim yordim ad sof haraglaim. We do not say to view the walls of the vessel as if they descend to the floor and thereby take up the space between the legs. Continuing in the source, Reb Shimon Shizuri, and notice how his name is double underlined. This is a marking that we had started on the previous daf. All of the Reb Shimon Shizuri names are double underlined because he's the focus of the Gemara's discussion. So Reb Shimon Shizuri says, "Im hoyu haraglayim gavohos tefach, ein beinehem nimdad." If the legs have a height of a tefach, in other words, the legs are a tefach in height, then the space between them is not part of the measuring. The im lav beinehem nimdad. If the legs are short, so the space formed between the legs will be counted as part of the 40 saw. So according to Rav Papa, this is the Reb Shimon Shizuri that Ravin Bar Chinana was paskining like. Rav Nachman Ritzok Omar Ayayin. Rav Nachman says that Ravin Bar Chinana's legal ruling to follow Reb Shimon Shizuri is based on the Reb Shimon Shizuri comment in the following source. Disnan, this source, which you can see also has a frame around it, refers to the level of tuma that various liquids become. What level of tuma do they become when they come into contact with other forms of tuma? So Rabbi Meir Omer, Shemen Tchila La'olam, Shemen oil, whether it comes into contact with a primary form, level tuma called an avatuma, or a rishon or sheni, to lower levels of tuma, the oil will always become a rishon level of tuma. In the context of this shiur, we are not going to give a background to what ramifications these different levels have. Suffice it to say that in the realm of ritual impurities, there are different levels. And Rabbi Meir says that shemen, no matter what it comes into contact with, whether it be an av, a rishon, or a sheni, the oil will always become a rishon l'tumah. The chachamim omrim af hadvash. The chachamim add, in addition to oil, honey as well. There's a bracketed section here that we recommend skipping initially. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri Omer Yayin. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri says that the idea of a liquid becoming a rishon, that applies to wine. Let's go over now the source with the brackets. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri Omer Af Hayayin. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri is adding to the list of even wine. So if you read it like that, it would leave you to feel Michlal de Tanakama Sovar, the earlier opinion would hold Yayin Loi. So are we to assume that? Let's read that with a little added tone of wonderment. Michlal de Tanakama Sovar Yayin Loi. Should we infer that the Tanakhama would hold that wine does not become a rishon? And that's preposterous, because the wine is no doubt is the classic type of mashke, and the rule that we are discussing here concerns the what is categorized as a mashke in order for us to say that it becomes a rishon. So to suggest that Rav Shimon Shazuri is the first opinion adding wine to the list leads us to think that the earlier opinions would not agree with that and wine would not be in the list. But that's preposterous, as we said, because the classic example of a mashke, namely that which would become a rishon, is wine. So the more accurate reading is rather say, Rabbi Shimon Shazuri Omer Yayin. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri's list is very limited. He says only wine. Only wine has this characteristic that it will become, under all circumstances, a rishon. To that, Rabbi Meir will add oil, and the Chachamim add even honey. So, bearing the main point in mind, namely the psak of Ravin Bar Chinuna, like Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, would be that we follow his opinion that only wine, would we say, becomes an av, becomes a rishon l'toma, and not a shemen nor devash. Tanya. The Gemara now introduces a brisa. Within this brisa, we will notice Rav Shimon Shazuri appears. Omar Rav Shimon Shazuri. Pam achas nis'arev li tevel b'chulin. Once I experienced a mixture of tevel. Tevel is untithed produce that got mixed in with my tithed chulin produce. Chulin meaning that which is available for everyone and anyone to eat, because it's already been tithed. Tevel, as we said, is the untithed. So, according to Rashi, the story here is that there was real tevel meaning produce that was not tithed, that got mixed up with chulin. And on a Torah level, the minor amount, the lesser amount, becomes botel, becomes void in the greater amount. So midoraisa, the tevel is voided in the chulin. However, midrabbanan, there is a stringency. That means on a rabbinic level, there's a stringency that says that tevel will forbid the mixture in which it is found. So on a rabbinic level, there is a need to metakein, to fix the situation. So Rav Shimon Shazuri mentions that he had this mixture problem. Ubasi v'shalti is Rabbi Tarfon, and I inquired with Rabbi Tarfon as to what to do. V'yomar li, and Rabbi Tarfon instructed me, lech kach l'cho min ha-shuk v'yaser olav. Notice we have a Roman numeral number 1 to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, that indicates that there will be a number 2, a Roman number 2 later, and that is part of an Iko Diamri, a second version. So in the meantime, first we will translate this and then say, and then point out the structure based on our notes on the side. Rabbi Tarfon says, if you want to fix the situation, go buy produce of the same variety from the market. And from the market is really means from an amoritz, from an ignoramus. And there is a certain assumption that ignoramuses, that amoritz, don't necessarily mafrish their tithes. Namely, on a Doraisa level, we may say that rove amoratzim are mafrish, but on a rabbinic level, when you buy from an ignoramus, you are expected to tithe his produce. Now, it's pointed out that to simply go to the mixture that you have and pull out some as a tithe, that is untenable. The reason for that is because you may be pulling out the chulin fruits in that mixture. And chulin being already tithed is not suitable to exempt the tevel that needs to be tithed. Therefore, once you have this mixture of tevel and chulin, you have to go to some outside source of produce that itself needs tithing on a rabbinic level. Take your tithe from that with the intention of trying exempting your mixture, and that will be the tikkun, that will be the solution. As we mentioned, we have two, we have Roman numerals 1 and 2. In the outside margin under our no say heading, you'll notice for the sake of review, we'll read Tevel Shinasarev Bechulin Eich Misaknin Oysoi. Tevel that got mixed up in Chulin, how do you repair the situation? The Mivneh, you see the numbers 1 and 2 of a Roman numeral nature, circled. These represent shtei l'shoinois b'tshuvas Rabbi Tarfon, two versions as to what Rabbi Tarfon's answer was. In the course of the Gemara, we'll see a double underline used with dots in it. This is to distinguish it from the previous double underlines featuring Rabbi Shimon Shizuri. This double underline highlights the expression v'lei molei, which in the context of our Gemara is a reference to hatsois chilufios, alternative suggestions. There will be a lema lay in the first lashon, and you'll see a lema lay expression in the second lashon as well. Let us point out another issue. We have it listed here as tat nosei. Tat nosei means a subtopic. The Gemara will introduce the idea of ha'im yesh kinyan la'akum be'eretz Yisrael lafkia miyad meiser. If an idol worshipper gains possession of land in Israel, Israel is the place, the only place where tithing is done. Tithing need not be done from produce that grows in Australia, but produce that grows in Eretz Israel needs to be tithed. What happens if a Gentile, if an idol worshipper, becomes an owner of land in Israel? Does that void it from needing to be tithed? In other words, do we emphasize the identity of the owner or not? Or we may say that ein kinyan la'akum be'eretz Yisrael afkia miyad meiser, and that the geographic identity is the main factor, not the identity of the owner. Let's now turn back to the Gemara. We heard Rabbi Tarfon's Eitza, a suggestion to Rabbi Shimon Shizuri, who said, listen, you've got this Teva Chulin mixture, go to an Amoretz, purchase from him the produce of the same nature, and take your tithe from the purchased produce from the Amoretz, and have that, and have in mind that its tithing should exempt your mixture. Kosavar d'oraisa baruba batel. First of all, we are assuming that on a Torah level, the tevel is void in the majority of chulin, so that on a Torah level, there's no need to tithe this mixture whatsoever. Another assumption, Verov Ame Horetz Ma'asrin Hain. The majority of ignoramuses do take care of their tithing. Therefore, when I buy something from them on a Torah level, there is no need to tithe, because the majority of Ame Horetz tithe anyway. Vehavile, the produce that I bought now from an Ame Horetz, is ketorem min hapotur al hapotur. It's if you're tithing from that which is exempt on a Torah level to cover another mixture that itself is really exempt. And that's okay. That's okay. What we don't want is a situation where you would be tithing from something that is exempt to cover something that needs, or vice versa. That's min achiyuv ala potur, min apotur ala chiyuv. But when they're on the same level, that's okay. The Gemara asks, the lemole, why didn't Rabbi Tarfon say to Rabbi Shimon Shizri, who had the mixture problem, lech kach min ha'oivet kechavim, go and buy from an idol worshipper, buy produce from an idol worshipper. An idol worshipper, his produce would have been something that we're assuming also would have need some tithing. So the Gemara answers, Kosavar Revi Tarfon is of the opinion, Ein Kinyan Le'ovid Kechovim Beretz Yisrael Hafkia Miad Meiser. The fact that an idol worshipper owns land in Israel does not exempt it from the need for tithing. Therefore, the produce grown on the property of the idol worshipper in Eretz Israel, v'havei lei min hachiyuv ala potur, that would be a problem of using produce that is bound on a Torah level to be tithed, and using that to exempt produce that does not need to be tithed. That kind of tithing is unacceptable. They are on a different level. You can't use material that needs itself to be tithed to exempt something else that does not need to be tithed. Iko Diamri, another version of this discussion. Omar Lay, Rabbi Tarfon says to Rabbi Shimon Shizri, Lech kach min ha'oivei kechovim. Go, and in order to solve your tevel chulin mixture, go and buy produce from an idol worshipper. Kosovar, in making this suggestion, he holds, Yesh kinyan le'oivei kechovim be'eretz Yisrael afkia miyad meiser. The land owned by an idol worshipper in Israel does undo the need for tithing. The havele min apotur ala potur, and therefore the produce that you just bought from the idol worshipper is itself exempt on a Torah level from needing to be tithed, and it will be used to exempt the Tevel Chulin mixture, which also is exempt on a Torah level. So, that only on a purely rabbinic level, these two kinds of produce need to be tithed. When we say kinds, we mean these situations. The Gemara asks, V'lei mole kach mehashuk, why is it that Rabbi Tarfon does not say, go and buy from an Am Horetz? Answer, the reason Rabbi Tarfon doesn't suggest that is Kosovar, he is of the opinion, Ein Rov Ame Horetz Ma'asrin. We don't have a situation of the majority of Amoratzim tithe. Therefore, since you don't have a Rov, you don't have a clear majority of Amoratzim that tithe, the need for tithing produce from the Amoritz is called a meikur hadin. It's by basic expectation, you must tithe from the produce bought from an Am Haaretz. If you will, we can say, Midoraisa, you will have to tithe from his produce. And therefore, you will have a problem, as the Gemara says, or using the expression of the Gemara before, it would be min hachiyuv al hapoter, and that's not acceptable. The Gemara now embarks on a question that lasts a number of lines. You'll notice to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text a shin that's encircled with a vertical dashed line. Sholach le Rav Yemar bar Shalmiya, the Rav Papa. Ha di Omar Ravin bar Chinin Omar Ulam or Bichanino Haloch Rav Shimon Shazuri. This is a quote from that which we saw on Lamed Amid Beis. That which Ravin bar Chinin Paskin like Rav Shimon Shazuri, Velo Oid El Komokam Shishona Rav Shimon Shazuri Haloch Kabaso. He added that wherever you find a teaching of Rav Shimon Shazuri, you will follow his opinion. So Rav Yemar Bar Shalmiya is asking, Af Binis Arev Le Tevel B'chulin, are we to say that the halacha will follow the information contained concerning Rav Shimon Shazuri in that case as well? Notice we have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You skim up the page, you'll see it points to the Brisa source that we had above with this very case in it. So are we to accept the teaching of Rav Shimon Shazuri concerning the case of Nisarev Lichulin Tevel Bechulin? Omar Lei in. So Rav Papa answers, yes. And what we learned in that source is the way to go. So if in that source it says to solve the problem, go and buy from an Amoretz, that's the halacha. In this last piece of Gemara, we saw Rav Yemar posing a question, Rav Papa, and Rav Papa offering an answer. Amar Rav Ashi, Amar Li Mar Zutra. Rav Ashi tells us that Mar Zutra told him, Kashi Bo Rav Chanina Misura. Rav Chanina Misura had a difficulty, and it appears that his difficulty is with the fact that Rav Yemar even asked his question. Why did Rav Yemar even need to ask, do we follow Rav Shimon Shazuri in that case? Pshita, it's obvious that we follow him. Mi ka'omar b'mishna senu? Did Ravin bar Chinina teach that we follow Rav Shimon Shazuri where he appears in Mishnayos? No. Kol makom shishana ka'omar. His ruling was wherever Rav Shimon Shazuri appears, even if it be in a brisa. Brisa being also a type of Tanaic literature, but having less weight, if you will, than a Mishnah. But Ravin bar Chinina never said that the rulings are to follow Reb Shimon Shazuri as he appears in Mishnayos. The rulings are to follow Reb Shimon Shazuri wherever he appears, even if he appears in Brisa-type Tanaic literature. With that, you see that we have a slash mark indicating that that which follows is a new idea. In fact, here we're going to get back to halachas concerning Sefer Torah. On the outside margin, we have a mivneh heading, a structural note. You'll notice a double underline is featured. In the Gemara text itself, you see the presence of a double underline here and almost halfway down the page as well. They represent Meimros Shel Rabbi Ze'iri Omar Avchananel Omarav. The nosei, the topic that we will deal with right now, concerns a yiriyah. Yiriyah is a sheet of parchment, shel sefer Torah, of a sefer Torah, shenikra, that developed a rip in it. Mosai shayach lifar. Under what circumstances can it be sewn? Implying, of course, that there are circumstances in which the rip is considered too severe, and therefore not lending itself to being sewn. Turning now to the Gemara. Omar Rav Ze'iri Omar Rav Hananel, Omar Rav. Kera, a rip, habo, bishnei, shitin, yitfor. If the rip develops from the top of the parchment and runs into two lines of Torah writing, that can be sewn. However, bishalosh, if the rip is longer and rips into three lines of writing, al yitfor, then it's considered too severe a rip, and you'll have to simply discard that sheet of parchment and replace it. Amar le Rava Rabba Zuti le Rav Ashi. Hachi Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah Midifti Mishmei de Rava. Ha di Amrinon Bisholosh Al Yitfar. We're now going to qualify that which was mentioned before, that which was taught. If a rip goes three lines into the writing, do not sew. Loi Amoron Elo Ba'atikta. This restriction of sewing applies only if the parchment is old. Rashi says on the fourth line from the top, Atiko, Klaf Yoshan Meganya Kriya. A rip in old parchment is gnai, is a negative thing. The Gemara continues, Avol Chaditza Les Lon Ba. When it comes to a rip in new parchment, we are not concerned, and you can go ahead and sew it up, apparently, even if it goes three lines into the writing. Velo atikto atikto mamish. The Gemara now qualifies the expressions atiko and chadito and says that atiko doesn't mean literally chronologically old parchment. Velo chadso chadso mamish. And when it says new, it doesn't mean literally new, ella. Ha de lo afitzon, ha de afitzon. Afitzon is a type of liquid that's found in nature, and it's used to process parchment. It's the material that's produced in this situation is called afotzim. Rashi mentions that. There are English translations available as to what it may be, but for our purposes, it suffices to say we can refer to it as a type of chemical that's a naturally occurring chemical that is used to treat parchment. If it has not been treated with afotzim, then it's considered like new, and you'll have the leniency with regard to the sewing of rips. Ha da'afitzon. If the parchment has been treated with afotzim, Rashi suggests that the afotzim cause the parchment to darken and hence become like age, appear as if they're aged. And as a result of that, we mentioned that the rip in aged-looking parchment is something that's, we'll call it non-aesthetic, and therefore only if it's two lines into the text will we allow it to be sewn, but not more. Vehani, the Gemara continues and says that under what circumstances will we allow sewing? Begidin. That's provided you're using animal veins or sinews for the sewing. The veins of the animal are of a kosher variety animal, are eventually processed into a string type material. Aval begardin lo, but to use a string that weavers use in producing fabric, that's garden, woven weaving material, strings like wool strings for sewing, that will not be acceptable. Boy Rav Yehuda bar Abba, bain daf ledaf. What about a rip that doesn't rip into the writing itself, but a rip that runs down between the columns of writing? What is the halacha there? Do we say that if it rips down to the length of two lines of writing, in other words, the rip is in the space between the columns, but if you look across from the end of the rip, you'll notice you are opposite the second line of writing of the next column, of the adjacent column. Do we apply this 2-3 line standard when a rip is between columns? Another question. Bein shita l'shita. My, what about a rip between the lines? Between each line of writing, there is a gap of white space, parchment, between each line of writing. What about a rip there? Teku. That remains unresolved. Omar Rabbi Ze'iri, Omar Rav Hananel, Omar Rav. This is, as you can see, we have a slash mark that indicates that that which follows is a new idea. There is, however, the connection insofar as the names are concerned, and hence you see this additional double underline. The topic heading that we've assigned to this section of Gemara is found in the outside margin under the heading Nosei. We've written there, Ksivas Shnei Milim B'chol Shura. We're referring to Ksivas Mezuzah. And the situation will be that the Gemara discusses is a mezuzah that is written line by line, having two words on each line, rather short lines. Another point that will be mentioned, Tsuros Shonos Shel Hashuros, different forms of lines, Shenotsru Ayadei Misparim Shonim Shel Milim. What we're trying to say here is that you will have different forms produced by lines of varying numbers of words. This will become clearer as we learn the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Ze'iri, Omar Rav Hananel, Omar Rav Mezuzah Shikosvo Shtayim Shtayim Kshero. A mezuzah that has two words per line is acceptable. Ibaya Laho Shtayim V'Sholosh V'Achas Mahu. What about a setup like this? We have two words on the first line, three words on the second line, and one word for the third line. Is that acceptable? Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchok, he says, oh, Kol Shekein, certainly it's acceptable. Sha'asa k'shira. Because you have produced a mezuzah that has the appearance of a shira. The expression shira is associated with certain sections in the Torah. For example, the Oz Yashir, the passage that was recited by Moshe Rabbeinu and Klal Yisrael at the Kriyas Yamsuf, which is part of the daily davening. You'll notice if you open up a traditional Sefer Torah that it doesn't appear in a consistent line after line fashion, but rather you'll notice there are words with larger gaps between each word, and on the subsequent line you'll have a gaps at a point over which there was a word on the previous line. So you have this staggered fashion of line by line, where one line, let's say, is a word, gap, and word, and then the next line, gap, word, and gap, where the word is positioned over a space on the next line. That is a shira. So that if you construct or you produce a mezuzah that appears in a, we'll call it three, one, in this fashion, two, three, and one, you'll notice that the words are positioned over a gap. And that's described as a shira. Meisvei, the Gemara challenges and says, Asa kishira, o shira kimosa. If you wrote a section of regular prose of the Torah, and you wrote it in a shira fashion, o shira kimosa, or that which is supposed to be written in shira form, you wrote it as in normal form, psula. It's unacceptable. So how can you tell me that a mezuzah which is not expected to be written in a shira form, if you do it, it's all the better? The Gemara answers, Ki Tanyo Hahi, the restriction that was taught in this most recent framed source, whereby you have no latitude, you can't switch from one form to the other, that's the Sefer Torah. That restriction is with regard to a Sefer Torah itself. Itmar Nami Omar Rabba Bar Chana Omar Rabbi Yochanan V'Amri Lo. Another version of names is Omar Rav Acha Bar Chana Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Two versions as to who is quoting Rabbi Yochanan. Mezuzah Shasah Shtayim V'Sholosh V'Achas Kshera. A mezuzah that's written with two words on one line, three words on the next, and one word on the third. That's acceptable. Now, two qualifications. The idea of having these numbers of words on various, on successive lines, he says, Ubavat shelo yaseno kekuba, provided you do not use these numbers of words per line and form a kuba form. A kuba form, without the need to explain too much, is illustrated. Kuba is a tent. Tent is narrow on top and wide at the bottom. You can see in the Rashi an illustration of what kuba would look like. There is a further illustration. If you notice in the Shita Mekubetzes, the second box, if you will, if you notice where the letter Hey is, that you can see is the first line, one word, second line, two words, and third line, three words. That is kuba, and we do not allow that type of writing to take place. A second point, ubavad shelo yaseno kezonov. One should not make it like a tail, where it tails off. And that is illustrated as well in the Rashi. It would be the opposite of kuba. It would be a 3-2-1 situation. And in the Shita Mekubetzes, he also offers an illustration of that under Ois Vav, the third rectangular shape on the lower outside margin. That is called Zonov, and that would be unacceptable. In this section of Gemara, the Gemara will discuss what we have noted in our Nosei topic heading, Mikum, positioning, Ksivas al Haoretz Besof HaMezuzah. At the end of the mezuzah, the pasuk ends off by saying, "Leman yirbu yemechem v'yemei b'nechem alu adama." Asher nishva Hashem lavosechem lo seis lahem kimei hashamayim al haoretz. The last two words are al haoretz. Where are they to be positioned? There are two options that will be mentioned in the Gemara. Tchilas Shura Achrona, at the beginning of the last line. This is beautifully illustrated in the Shita Mekubetzes. If you notice, the Ois Ches, the last illustration in the Shita Mekubetzes, has Al Oretz at the beginning of a line. Note the positioning of Al-Oretz with regard to Shamayim. In effect, they are far away from one another. Shamayim is at the end of the line above, and Al-Oretz is at the beginning of the next line, creating an extreme distance between them. There's another possibility, and that's that the Al-Oretz is written Besof Shura Achrona, at the end of the last line. Kishe mashir tchilas ashur reik. By writing al oretz, the only two words on the last line, and writing it at the end of the line, you're in effect leaving the beginning of the line blank. That is illustrated also in the Shita Mekubetzes, the second to last framed illustration under Ois Zion. You can see al oretz is positioned in this case directly under Shamayim. There is symbolism in both of these illustrations, as we will learn in the Gemara. So, turning to the Gemara, Omar Rav Chisda, Al Haoretz, notice we have this in quotation marks, indicating a quote from the Pasuk, those two words, Beshita Achrona, they are to be on the last line of the mezuzah. Ikod Yamri Besov Shita, some say it should be at the end of the line, that Al Oretz is positioned at the end of the line. The Ikod Yamri Betchila Shita, and there are others that say that Al Oretz is positioned at the beginning of the line. Man Yamri Besov Shita, the opinion that says place it at the end of the line, If you do that, as we saw in illustration Zion of the Shita Mugvetzes, the word Oretz is right underneath Shamayim. What is the symbolism? The Gemara explains. Kigvoa Shamayim al Oretz. As the heavens are high above the earth, a very great distance, it's way above, so too, with that great distance, great amount, one's life will be lengthened. The Pasuk, let us not forget, said, Leman yirbu yameichem v'imei b'neichem, that you should have longevity. So longevity in the merit of keeping the mitzvahs will be achieved. What kind of longevity? Like the distance of the heavens above the earth. Uman d'amar b'tchila shita, the other opinion that said that Al-Oret should appear at the beginning of the line. What is the symbolism in this case? Ki hechi dimrachko shamayim me'oretz. As shamayim is far away from Oretz, as the illustration shows, it's one is at the end of the previous line, and the other is at the beginning of the next line, indicating a great distance between them. So too, one's life will be lengthened in a great way. Omar Rabbi Chelbo, Chazino Lei L'Rav Huna, Dekorich Lo Me'echod Klapei Shema. I saw Rav Huna roll his mezuzah closed. As everyone knows, the mezuzah at the doorpost of every home is rolled closed and positioned in that fashion, in a scroll form, if you will, rolled up. It's not left open as a sheet of exposed writing. In which direction do you roll it up? So he mentions, imagine the first line of the mezuzah is written from right to left, beginning with the word Shema. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echod. So at the end of the line, on the left-hand side, so to speak, you have the word Echod. So you start rolling it from Echod to Shema. In that fashion, when you unravel it, the first word you will see will be Shema. And another observation that Rabbi Chelbo made regarding Rav Huna's mezuzah, V'oise parshioseha stumos. I also noticed that the nature of the space between the end of the first paragraph, which we entitle Shema, and the second paragraph, which we entitle V'hoya im Shemola, was in a stumos fashion. What is meant by stumos? So let's glance immediately at the Shita Mekubetzes he says that the reading here is parshiosov stuma. Instead of the plural loshen stumos, he simply says stuma. There's also a note in the Shita Mekubetzes ois tests that we want to look at as well. You notice we have some underlining done at the bottom corner, outside corner of the page. He explains stuma hainu sheminiach revach beemza v'yesh ksav mishnei tzdodim. That would mean that there is the gap between the two paragraphs is closed on either side. In other words, there's a gap. The gap indicating that we just finished the first parsha, finished the first parsha of the Kriya Shema, and then you don't start V'hoyo im Shemoa immediately after the word Ubisharecha, which is the last word of the first paragraph. You leave a little space, and on the same line after you left the space, you start V'hoyo im Shemoa. So that line is blocked, is sosum, is closed with writing at the end of the line. Inami, another approach to what stuma may be, is meniach cholok berosh hashita. In other words, you finished the paragraph, the first paragraph, at the at the end of its at the end of the line, and you're now moving down to the next line to start the writing of V'hoyim Shemoa, but you don't write it at, you don't start it at the beginning of the next line, but rather you indent and start V'hoyim Shemoa on that line, where again the end of the line is filled with writing. So the end, so that line can also be described as stuma. So Rav Chelbo is telling us that he noticed that Rav Huna's mezuzah was written in the stuma fashion, as we just described. Following this, the Gemara will raise a kasha on his practice from a Tanaic source that features Rav Shimon ben Elazar, who mentions that the mezuzah is written in a psucha fashion. Psucha fashion would then be to the contrary of what we described regarding stuma, where the first paragraph would end on its given line, and there would be a space left till the end of the line. You wouldn't start writing the next parsha Vayim Shemoa on that same line. We will not learn the question itself, because that will carry us on to the next Omid, Daf Lamed Beis Omid Aleph. So with this, we conclude our Shi'ur for today.